This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman, where you'll learn to awaken your divine intuition and open your human heart. Sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and learn. Here's Sarah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman. So happy to be with you here in middle February, right before the big day of hearts and chocolates and champagne. And I really don't know what is popular right now for Valentine's Day, but those are the things that come to mind. You know, our subject today, and I wanted to kind of squeeze this in the day before the day that lots of people tend to get super stressed out about expectations and, you know, are they with someone? Are they not with someone? The question, does romantic love matter? And we're going to look today at this idea of why romantic love, it really is not the end all. It is not the be all and end all of our lives as divine beings in human form. It's just one part or one passage that we're either going to do incredibly easily or have a lot of difficulty with or not have at all. And when we look at this idea that romantic love, because society says, yeah, that's the thing, you know, that's the whole shebang right there. But when we reject that notion, and just look at this idea of romantic love is a piece of the puzzle, but not the whole puzzle itself. Or it's a slice of the pizza, but not the whole pie. Or whatever, what other silly things. It's one chocolate in the box, but it's not the whole heart-shaped box of chocolate. So we can just look at it as one aspect, because you know, when the universe said, okay, souls, everybody's going to go into this lifetime. And the universe did not say, and the purpose of your life is to go find your soulmate. The universe says the purpose of life is soul growth. So we are here to expand into these qualities where we're working in a more ego-less way, and we're working more in a state of flow, being more detached from outcome. And we're not trying to force or control this societal idea of, you know, one person only for you. And let's look at this a little bit even more logically. Like, as souls, you know, we reincarnate over and over and over, and we show up, we have karmic crossings with every person we're going to meet in our lifetime. But that doesn't mean that, like, I don't use the terms twin flame. I don't use the terms soulmate, as in only one soulmate. I believe everyone we meet, we have karma to work out with. That is a soulmate for us. It is a soul mating. And in this lifetime, one particular soul might show up as your partner or not, but that doesn't mean that that's the only partner in all the lifetimes you're ever going to have, that one particular soul is always going to be the one to show up. Now, it is true, we often do reincarnate with the same souls over and over as we work out karmic lessons, but once those lessons are learned, there's no reasons for the souls to work together anymore. It's time to go on to other souls that we have other karma to work lessons out with. So when you kind of take the pressure off of this idea of, one destined person or one soulmate, only one in the whole wide world, it starts to relax the whole idea. And when you also take away the pressure of how it's supposed to be, like so often I'll ask people, you know, what do you want in a partner? What are you looking for? And they'll say, you know, I want him to be tall and have brown hair and be financially stable and, you know, have a fancy car or whatever. And of course, these surface things have no importance in terms of deciding to walk the karmic path of being in partnership with somebody. As you guys all know who are in partnership, it can be quite challenging to be in a relationship with somebody because you keep having to work together. It's like those races in the old fashioned picnics where you have to tie your legs together and then try and run across a line. That's what is happening in a partnership. Conversely, it's also difficult to walk the soul path without partnership because then you face different challenges of perhaps being lonely or wanting companionship. So looking at the grass is not greener on either side. It's just different ways of approaching the soul path of growing toward expansion. And finally, when we look at romantic love especially, you know, romantic love, way back in college, I was in England and we did quite a bit of studying on romantic love in terms of being about chivalry, being about Sir Gawain and the Green Knight and King Arthur and that aspect of chivalry, which was a new idea. It was a man would serve a lady's honor. So obviously, it's a very old idea. Obviously, society has changed. And so when I see the commercial aspects of hearts and candy, and it just doesn't really resonate with me. Love is love, whether it's romantic and sexual, whether it's love for a family member, whether it's love for a friend. Love just is. And focusing on this aspect of your own heart, how open you can be to anyone, not just a partner, how transparent you can be, how much you can show up as your real self and be kind and compassionate. That feels more in resonance with what a day celebrating love should be about. So that was a long diatribe there. Today is Free Readings Wednesday. You can call in to 844-390-8255. 844-390-8255. And I want to bring your attention to right now the course Become a Spiritual Psychic in 28 Days is being featured on Daily Om, and you'll also find it on my website. So a lot of folks are working through that. So if you're interested, it's a quick 4-lesson course, and it teaches you some pretty nifty tools in spiritual intuition. It's only $15. So you can go to sarahwiseman.com, go to the courses page, and you'll find that there. Let us go to the phones now. And looks like first up, we have Uma calling from Oregon. Uma, welcome to the program. Are you there, Uma? Uma, are you there? Oh, hi. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
So I'm not young, and I've got some disabilities in the structural department. I've been a spiritual practitioner for many, many years, and the dilemma is financially I've been struggling for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm wanting to know, do you see some break in terms of financial freedom for me? I feel like that would really help expand my life more.
Mm-hmm. Can you see if you can also, we're getting like a little feedback, if you can turn back, turn down the volume of whatever you're listening to. That would be helpful if that's something you can do.
Okay.
I have a question.
I'm listening
to
you.
Okay, turn that down and just talk into your phone. And, okay, that's great. That'll be a better, sound for everybody.
Okay.
So do you work in healing arts, or what is your practice?
A long time ago, I did work in the healing arts. I haven't for quite a few years. I'm an artist. I'm also actually working on a book, which I have no idea if it'll ever get published. I sing, play piano, things like that.
And what town are you in? Or actually, I don't need to know the center. Are you in a big town or a small town?
Small town on Mount Hood.
Okay. What I'm getting is, and this may bring up some resistance, but I'll just get what I'm receiving, is kind of like you kind of get to choose if you want to move to a bigger area. There's going to be more financial prospects for you. And it tends to point to me to like a return to the healing arts. Like you could do quite well that way. But staying there is going to be kind of more of the same. However, what the guys are saying is that it's wonderful. Like when you look at finances, versus free time, all of the things you're doing are simply wonderful to your own, you know, your own growth, this having the time to explore your own inner stuff. So, you know, they're saying choose carefully. Yes, if you move to a bigger town or even travel to a bigger town sometimes, you know, to do some of your healing arts, you could make extra money that way. But maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe the worry about money is really kind of misplaced. Maybe it's perfect like it is. Do you think you could look at the value of how you're getting to live life on your own terms right now versus, you know, having a schedule and all that?
I'm definitely grateful for that.
Yeah. And they're also saying maybe there's some kind of middle ground where you're moving to a little bit bigger area, but it's not like you're in Oregon, so it's not like you're moving to Portland. You're just moving or traveling a little bit bigger so that you can attract more clients.
What form of healing arts are you seeing?
It feels like you could do healing touch, or you could also do intuition, and you could kind of do whichever you wanted, or you could, or both, you know, as some aspect. So, like you could do energy healing, or you could do intuitive style work. So why don't you just sit with all that? And it feels like you have a lot of spiritual tools, like you know how to meditate on these ideas and you know how to get guidance and just kind of open up the idea of like, oh, what if I traveled a little bit and, you know, once a week, or what if I moved a little bit, or what if I just think it's fine like it is, and just see what starts to unfold when you start to meditate and receive guidance on those ideas. It feels like it's not a big... like sometimes people are, you know, right away, it's like in 3 months or in one day, but this is a kind of a pretty slow unfolding for you. This is almost over the next year. You're sort of like, what's of value to me? But I don't see your finances getting worse. I only see them stable or getting a bit better. So that's good. Mm-hmm. There's no big, you know, dropping out of into a problem. So you can kind of rest with that. Yeah. So look at those. And then also sometimes we are slowed down, we're prevented from, like, so this book, right? Maybe you're meant to just hardcore work on that and actually get that completed. And that is the thing that the universe is kind of giving you this time to, like, actually get that done versus dragging it out. And maybe focusing on that, then that's complete, check, life goal achieved. And then, you know, so you work at that with intensity and speed, and and give yourself a pretty strong deadline, because books don't actually take that long to write when we really sit down and focus on them. You know, it can be a pretty, it's very hard work, but it feels like that piece may be the whole thing that's like a plug in the bottle, you know, like once you get that done, everything starts to flow. So,
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Uma, thank you for calling into the program. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Thank you so much. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes money is not the answer. Sometimes money is like the symptom, or money is the way to get us moving toward expanding in different ways. Anyway, okay, let us go to the phones. We have Kathy calling from Florida. Kathy, welcome to the program. Hi, Kathy. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Oh.
Hi. Excellent. What can I help you out with today? Hi.
Well, I was just calling in about a relationship that I'm contemplating.
Mm-hmm. Have we, do I know you or have we talked before, do you think?
No.
Okay. Maybe it's just your style of voice. Okay. Well, tell us about it. So what you're contemplating a relationship, that's a very good place to be in. That's a steady, mature look at, is this what I really want? So tell us about what you're thinking.
Well, I was actually involved with him about 5 years ago. And there was a lot of problems in the relationship, and we went our separate ways. But I just seem, I just keep going back to, I just feel like in my heart that we're just, our story's not finished. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that means it's supposed to be just a friendship, or if it's meant for a second chance.
How much would you, do you think, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much, with 10 being the best, how much would you say that he's grown during that time frame? How different is he than the person you used to know?
I do see a lot of growth in both of us. Mm-hmm. And for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And for the better.
Yeah. And what sort of baggage does he have with past relationships, or I don't know, other kinds of things, family, so forth?
I guess we both have some dysfunction in our families. Uh-huh. That brings baggage to it. There was a cheating on mm-hmm. his part, and it literally broke my heart. And mm-hmm. At that time, I felt that I needed to step away. Even though he was remorseful, he wanted another chance, but I chose to love myself more at that time than I did the relationship, because I knew that I had a lot of work to do on myself. And I also mm-hmm. felt like he needed to do work on himself. So I made the choice to walk away.
And have you dated other people during that time, during the last years?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone out with some people. Nothing that's really, you know, been you know, wonderful or, you know, anything like that. But, you know, I have, you know, gated.
Well, what I'm seeing is that you might choose to go back. I absolutely agree that there's a whole bunch of karmic lessons still to be worked through, but I'm not certain it's going to be resolved in this lifetime. It's feeling like if you go back really quickly, and you might go back anyway, you know, but it feels like if you go back really quickly, these same sorts of issues are going to rise up, and then your heart's going to be broken, like, again, you know, like, bigger.
Right.
I've said on the show, there's this Buddhist saying, as in beginning, so in middle, so in end. And it feels like with this person, even though there's love there, and even though there's been a lot of personal growth on both sides, it feels like the patterns are, it's going to be kind of the same thing again. A little bit different, but basically the same. So you may choose to,
okay,
like, go see what that's like, because I think there is this feeling of love and also of the comfort of familiarity, which as we get older is, you know, it's really nice to have somebody know your history and not have to explain why, well, you know, your whole life to them. And I would just take it really slow, and I would take it more as a friendship level, just to, then you can kind of observe how things are. And it's also, the guides are also saying, like, don't give up on dating. You aren't going to find somebody familiar in terms of history, maybe, but you may find somebody that is very familiar to you in terms of personality. Don't just think it's only this guy because you knew him from before. It feels
right,
like there's some great possibilities, like, to up your dating and find a better match where it's going to be not just repeating the same pattern again. But what they're also saying is, no matter what you decide, if you decide, I'm going to try it, I'm going to try it as friends, I'm going to pass, where you are now in terms of your strength is wonderful. And so no matter what happens, it's going to happen. You're going to be able to manage everything, see things faster, make decisions better. It's like you're in a whole different position. So they commend you for all the personal growth you've done over time. So good job.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So just take your time and kind of no rush on this. Just you get to decide what you want to do, and you'll be able to navigate whichever choice you make. So anyway, thank you, Kathy.
Okay.
I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. We've got some other callers waiting, and I'll be getting to them in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. You have been listening to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman, and we'll be right back.
Are you a seeker on the path of soul growth? Did you know that Sarah Wiseman's new book, Messages from the Divine, Wisdom for the Seeker's Soul, comes with the free Seeker's Guide? This 11-week online course helps you dive deep into the teachings of Sarah's new book, and it's Sarah's gift to you. Get Messages from the Divine and your free Seeker's Guide now at sarahwiseman.com.
Ready to learn the secrets of spiritual intuition? Did you know that Sarah Wiseman offers over 20 courses in psychic development, soul growth, karma, healing, past lives, and more? And that they're all sliding scale, pay what you want? These premium online courses are self-study, so you can work on your own schedule. Sign up for Sarah's courses now at sarahwiseman.com. That's S-A-R-A, Wiseman.com.
Alrighty, we are back with more Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman. We're on Free Readings Wednesday. Our overview subject is, does romantic love matter? And, you know, not so much, not so much. What matters is love. Romantic is just one style of that expression. Let's go to the phones here. We have Deborah calling from Seattle. Deborah, welcome to the program. Hi. Thanks for your patience, Deborah. What can I help you out with today?
Thank you very much, Sarah. I've longed to speak with you, and this is my first time, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling today to ask you where you might see me living.
You're in a lot of snow right now, I think, so no, that's a good reason that that's on your mind. Where are you thinking of moving to? But and not cities, but just general areas. And why are you thinking of moving? That's what I think I want to know.
Financial and closing a chapter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how, when was the time that you most recently moved? Like, when did you move to Seattle, or were you raised there?
No, I wasn't. About 10 years.
10 years. Okay.
10 years.
And what places have you been thinking of? What cities are coming to your mind?
Always my feelings are the West Coast, and if not this region, then California, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure if returning back to Cape Cod was a good choice.
Okay. It feels good. It does feel like the idea of closing a chapter is correct for you. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're ready to recreate yourself by, and the Cape Cod is really like, so what I do is like, I write down what everybody says, and then something in the process of writing down some things will become like alive on the page. And wow, Cape Cod is circled and it has stars by it. And there's something about that idea of returning back to your place of origin in order to kind of relook and reassess, you know, your whole life. There's something about going back and returning and seeing who you, you know, who you were and who you became, and integrating the whole piece together. I think that the 10 year is interesting because we mostly work in like 9 year cycles, which means that you've probably had a full nine year cycle in Seattle and ready to move along. And as you know, as I know too, Seattle's changed so much in 9 years, in 20 years, it's not even anything what it used to be like. And so might be interesting to go to a more quieter environment. What do you have to put into? Yes, I think that's what I'm. Yeah, I think you're correct. Your assessment is correct. It's a great time. And it doesn't seem like there's many roadblocks. There doesn't seem like there's anything in the way of it. It's fine for you to, sometimes when people, you know, that idea of doing a geographical, they're just trying to escape, but that doesn't seem to be your situation at all. It seems to be you've completed your task there.
Okay. My only concern about returning eastward is the speed of things in California and the quieter region in contrast. So I was just concerned about that.
Yeah. Yeah. What it feels about Cape Cod is maybe that's a longer visit or like a shorter stay. You go and return and see how you feel, and then you wrap up whatever pieces need to be kind of integrated, and then you go from there somewhere else. It might even be just a visit back there, but it feels like that's a really important part of, it's almost like you're asking the question, who am I now? And you're trying to find the place mm-hmm. that supports who you are now. And there's something about going back and either looking with astonishment of, yes, I belong here, or looking with astonishment like, nope, never going back here. And you'll know right away yeah. which it is, which it is.
And I did that. Yeah. I did that about two, three years ago mm-hmm. and left.
mm-hmm. Yeah. And so maybe this is your final visit. Feels like you're stepping into a completely new passage of your life. And so maybe, you know, this is just like the final thing to say goodbye to. And I want to add, when I say like the final thing to say goodbye to, I don't mean you're going to die or anything. It's more just like you're wrapping up one passage and you're moving on to the next stage. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it feels like because there's no, there's nothing in the way of this energetically, I would just let the universe really guide you. I would just put it out there, like, if I'm supposed to go visit Cape Cod, let me know. And kind of setting things in motion fairly quickly. There doesn't seem any reason to drag this out. It just kind of ask for guidance as to where. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Deborah, thank you so much for your call, and good luck to you. It sounds like some interesting things are ahead. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes when we move a lot, we can be running away. But when we have put in our time somewhere and really like gotten all the juice and flavor out of that particular place, especially as we approach different stages of our life, then it can be time. And what I think is great is to have the courage, like I can move or I'm able to move. And that is a beautiful way of stepping into like the adventure of our life. Looks like we have on the phone Iris calling from Cleveland. Iris, welcome.
Hi.
Thank you for calling. What can I help you out with today?
Well, I seem to be having a problem, a serious problem with loneliness and depression.
Hmm. I'm going to ask you also to turn your radio down or whatever. Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry. Depression is really difficult, and it's really, you know, it's a really common problem nowadays with all of the world and politics and social media, and everything's pretty chaotic right now. Do you have support that you could see a therapist or support group to support you in this? Is that something you've been able to find?
I haven't really looked. I became ill last year and lived down south and had to move back up north. And mm-hmm. Whatever it is, there's no diagnosis. They can't treat me because they don't know. I can't get out the house because of the cold weather. It affects mm-hmm. my breathing. So I'm kind of stuck in, and, you know, my children come by when they can, but I'm just feeling like I'm going crazy up here alone.
Yeah. You know, what you could do, Iris, is a lot of people, I think you're going to have to get some kind of medical, you know, help as soon as you're able to. So just saying like that you're ready to look for that, it's going to start to come to you much faster than if you hadn't made the decision like, yes, I'm going to get some whatever it's going to be, a support group or medication or whatever that's going to be. Because depression is like an illness. It's not like something that you're lacking. It's an illness. It's a mental health issue. So You got to decide to get some help there. You could ask your family to help you find a resource. But what a lot of people have been doing, like say you live, people that live really remotely and they want to connect, because what I'm getting is that your spiritual self is really beautiful. Like your heart and your spiritual nature is very, very strong. And what you could do is start taking some online classes that would help you build your spiritual practice up. And that will also lift you in addition to some of the things you're going to do psychologically or medically. Like I know on the dailyom.com, the courses are only $15. And maybe picking something like that that helps you reach the guides or that helps you work on your self-esteem, or, you know, just something positive and uplifting that you can almost like treat yourself to as something to do while it's the weather's so horrible and, you know, until spring comes. Do you think you could look into something, a couple small steps like this to just get you through until the spring and until the weather shifts? And then I think things will be better from there. Do you think that these two things that you could do?
Well, I've signed up and I take some of the online. I believe I've taken quite a few of your courses online.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps. I did speak to my primary care physician, and he seems to think about the depression, and he seems to think that it's just going along with the illness, and he that to wait on it, some type of treatment.
So I think that may
stuck there.
Yeah, I think that looking for a different physician, because depression is not something that should be overlooked. And I know it's really hard, but it feels like seeking somebody else that's going to truly understand you and help you, not just someone that's brushing it off. So I would call on maybe some of your family members to help you. It feels like they're younger and they might have some different resources or different ways of searching for something. I think that things are going to, you're going to just say, you know what, I need some help. And then help's going to come. Like just like you saying, no, that answer from that, that's not a good enough answer. I need some help with this. I need some support. And then the support's going to start to find its way to you. So just recognize, you know, it's not your fault to be depressed. It's a mental health issue and it's really tough and there is treatment. So your job is to go like, I need support. I got to get some help. Right. And then you're going to be able to find help and then you'll start to feel better. And I'll be so happy. I'll be so happy with that lifting of, you know, lifting up of your heart, because your heart is very big. So good luck, Iris. And just, yeah, it feels like asking your family members to help you just, and they're going to be able to find the right person for you. So,
okay. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you. We're all supporting you. So good luck to you. Thank you. We are going to take one last quick break. You've been listening to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Ready to learn the secrets of spiritual intuition? Did you know that Sarah Wiseman offers over 20 courses in psychic development, soul growth, karma, healing, past lives, and more? And that they're all sliding scale, pay what you want? These premium online courses are self-study, so you can work on your own schedule. Sign up for Sarah's courses now at sarahwiseman.com. That's sarahwiseman.com.
Hey Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman. You know, the last caller, Iris from Cleveland, my heart really goes to her. Depression, mental health issues, just being super frank, a lot of people, like all of us who are sensitive, who are intuitive, maybe we're introverts, maybe we're empaths, this heightened sense of feeling everything can go hand in hand with mental health stuff. And there's a site I really like that I think is really capturing what the suffering is like when there's a mental health issue. It's called themighty.com, like mighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y. So if you feel like, you know, it's great to be sensitive, and the world is not always a sensitive place. So if you're feeling like you're, you know, having trouble, or you're having too much anxiety, or just seek help. There are lots of ways of helping that we didn't have before. Some of them are spiritual, but some of them do need to be medical. Sometimes our chemicals are off. And, you know, don't ever be ashamed to just say, wow, I need support. Anyway, let us go to the phones. And we have Tricia calling from New York. Tricia, welcome to the program.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi, thanks so much for your patience. What can I help you out with today?
Oh, no problem. First, my name's Patricia, not Tricia.
Oh,
but that's
Patricia. Okay. Thank
no
you.
Worries.
Good.
No worries. First, I just want to tell you, you have the kindest, most gentlest voice. I just thank you so much.
thank you.
World,
okay.
In this loud world, you're just like a breath of fresh air.
Awesome.
I'm a little nervous. So here's my basic situation. I moved to New York when I was 49, and I lived in Chicago. I partnered, and, you know, as life goes, I've gone through a lot of things, but hitting my 50s, getting into relationship later in life, and then we live in Manhattan. I'm one of those highly sensitives, you know, myself, and going through menopause, and then being the helper, you know, I helped everybody, or I wish I would have made a decision more for myself before moving here, but I made that decision, so I accept that. So where I'm at now is I've done a lot of work, I've done a lot of things, but I'm at this career impasse. I used to produce television commercials,
mm-hmm.
be a life coach, though I guess my biggest question I'm asking is like, God, what would it feel like to just embrace this change of life and to really be able to hear, get clarity with my guides? Because I don't feel like I'm really hearing my intuition as much as I used to. I don't know. I'm a bit stuck. I'm like a dog chasing her tail, actually.
Mm,
you know, everything's a little wonky now. My relationship, I've gone through a lot of death. My family, like my, you know, my blood family is all gone. And the only sister that I had that I really got along with, it's like the dysfunction swooped in our last phone call. And I'm just sitting here going, wow, you know, I need some better empowerment here. So, you know, that's why I'm a bit afraid to go into coaching. Like my partner always teases me. We walk around Central Park and he wants to take a credit card, and just because I'm just that helper, it's like it just comes so naturally. So it's, you know, I know it's about boundaries, it's about a lot of things. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at, and I just kept getting a gentle message. I'm like, why don't you call, see what get a little nudge.
Yeah, and so how old are you now? I wasn't quite sure. How old are you, today?
57.
Okay. It feels like you're kind of right on track, actually,
okay.
for the 50s. This stage of, so we all know in the 40s, it's often a time when everyone goes crazy and makes big changes. But in the 50s and 60s, things, we don't stop exploring, or we don't just start to settle. It's actually a time of even further letting go of all the stuff that, you know, whether we do it of our own volition, like we let go of relationships, or whether people around us die, or, you know, just like we let go of possessions. It's just like this big clearing stage. And it's almost like we're getting down to our essence. And it feels like instead of, you're actually not chasing your own tail. What you're really longing to do is just not chase anymore. You're longing to just be and see who that person is. And mm-hmm. I would suggest that that includes, like, you want to see who you are outside of your partnership, not necessarily ending the partnership, but what is your identity outside of being in that partnership? Who are you? And what is your identity if you don't have a fast-paced job? Or what is your identity if you're not a helper? And this is like this pretty amazing journey that you get to go on, because you've seen so much and you know so much, and now you get to almost like crack the code on the big question of, like, who are you really? Do you have the opportunity to go on any trips by yourself, or to take a retreat for yourself in a different area, like someplace that's not urban?
That's what I've been longing to do, actually. And I probably could create that opportunity somehow. I just need to be open to it, like you've told other people, you know, mm-hmm. and to really mm-hmm. invite that in, because I guess as we talk, I see how this process has been unfolding. But sometimes mm-hmm. when you're going through the process, it's like, excuse me, like, what the, you know, because mm-hmm. it can be unsettling. So I really need to be open to that, because that's what I'm really yearning for. I have a friend who wants me to come visit in California, but I want to find a place. I'm going to say this out loud. I like to find a little place, even if it's just for a mm-hmm. weekend, you know, mm-hmm. where it's just not heavy overdose of spirituality. It's like maybe an mm-hmm. art weekend or something fun, mm-hmm. something more levity, you know, and nature, mm-hmm. Where I don't have to, you know, I've been really, really watching my empathicness with people, because sometimes you can help, mm-hmm. sometimes you can't, sometimes, and you have to, you know, they have to invite you to ask, you know, or you have to, mm-hmm. you know, you just really have to watch those boundaries. But I need something that will, like, I don't know, ignite the joy again.
mm-hmm. Well, what I'm actually seeing is like a small little place. I'm actually seeing like a little cabin-y or a little room, like in and you just are kind of going there and you're hanging out for a while, like a couple months, not just a weekend. A weekend is not going to do it. It's almost like you need a break. You need a retreat.
Yeah.
One thing that's coming to mind, I don't think this is the place for you. It's just the picture I'm getting in my head, but there's a little place on the Oregon coast where it's like you go rent a cabin in I think it's a writer's colony. And then, so you have meals together, but everybody does their own thing. Something like a retreat setting that's rural. You don't go with your partner. Okay. You don't go with a friend. You just like, I'm going to just go and spend some time just being and see what comes up. And it feels like creating this like pretty soon. And so the question is not what career should you do. The question is, who am I? Who after all this lifetime, who am I? And that's the piece that, and I'm not certain you're going to get the perfect answer. Like I am this, but you're going to let go of a lot of, you're going to deal with a lot of the past stuff and release it and, come to a more clear understanding of yourself. And one last piece I want to add, Patricia. So I was doing a lot of flying this past month or last month, and I was with my daughter. So she forgot her headphones. So I gave her my headphones. And so I only could watch a movie with no sound, right? So
yes,
I did.
Yes.
And we made these back and forth flights, and I ended up watching Darjeeling Express. Three times. And there's this part in there with Angelica Houston where she goes to the monastery and she's just kind of there by herself, and her adult sons are like, "Mommy, take care of us." And she's like, "No, I'm myself now." And after watching that three times with no sound, I really understood that archetype, that they were the archetype of the crone or the wise woman, and the person finding themselves in the feminine space. So I think that's where you are. Patricia, thank you so much. I'm realizing the time for the show. I've got to wrap
it up.
But good luck.
Bless you. Thank
and
you.
I think it'll be
thank
good.
You. Thank
yeah.
You.
Thank you.
All right, sweetheart.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
All right. Okay, so everybody, as you face Valentine's Day tomorrow, don't panic. Do what you want. Do what feels good to you. And, you know, if you're with somebody, great. If you're not with somebody, great. Just to celebrate this idea of love, not just romantic love, but all the ways we love each other, all the ways we have compassion for each other, all the ways we are souls helping each other. I am Sarah Wiseman, and we'll be back next week with more Ask Sarah. If you're looking for me, you can find me at sarahwiseman.com. Thanks for listening.
Want more of Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman? Tune in weekly for more divine teachings on living a soul-led life. Want Sarah's books, courses, and free gifts? Visit sarahwiseman.com.